Welcome to the Fat Yogi Show, featuring interviews with amazing fat yogis with compelling conversations about being fat and their yoga practice. These interviews create a space for inclusivity and support for fat yogis from all over. I'm Tiffany Crow, yoga instructor, fat chick, and now podcast host with a goal of giving power to anyone to say, I am a fat yogi. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey friends, did you know that I teach yoga classes? Yep, that's right. Me, Tiffany, your podcast host, also teaches yoga classes Monday through Thursday. I have morning classes and evening classes. I also record them and then post them on Vimeo. So if you'd like to join in, I have a free class on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and all my rest of my classes are $15 or $29 for the month. $29, that's it. And the first, I think I have 40 more fat yogi shirts. The first 40 people who sign up get a free fat yogi shirt, and I'm super excited to be giving these out. A lot of people have been asking for them because I've been wearing it all over my social media, and this is how you get it. Go sign up for my membership, fatyogicrew.as.me. Description has all the links, and I appreciate you guys' support so much. Today's guest is a registered yoga teacher specializing in gentle, restorative, and prenatal yoga. She's the founder of Good Yoga, a body positive virtual yoga studio obsessed with providing accessible yoga to everyone who walks through their digital doors. Regardless of age, race, sexuality, gender identity, fitness level, or body size. She's had a personal practice of yoga for 10 years on and off, and she fell deeply in love with yoga while recovering from PTSD, stemming from childhood sexual abuse and infertility. She's so grateful for the delight that she has learned to take in her body since devoting herself to the practice. She can't wait to show other people how to take delight in their bodies as well. Welcome to the podcast, Bree!
Hi. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Yay, me too. I'm excited to have you. How are you?
I am so good. It has been raining all morning here, but the sun is just starting to come out, which feels so good. Is it too loud? I don't get very good reception at my house, so I am currently recording this in a parking lot, and I'm starting to realize that it's very loud.
It sounds okay on my end, so I think it's
okay.
Fine.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So where are you at right now? Like, what town do you live in or state?
So I live in Linden, Michigan.
Okay.
I live just south of Flint, Michigan. Which is part of the reason that when I opened my yoga studio, I wanted to open it up in Flint. It is the closest bigger town to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to college in Flint. So that was my original connection to that city.
Okay. Nice. So then it's a little bit, it's like 1 o'clock there for you right now then.
It is. It's 1 o'clock here.
Okay.
Yep.
So how's it going with having the yoga studio?
So our yoga studio is going, it's going really well. Mm-hmm. We are growing just a little bit, which I feel so grateful to be able to say in the middle of the pandemic. Yesterday was our 2 month birthday.
Oh my gosh.
So we're really like, we are almost brand new.
Mm.
I don't know if you know very much about Flint, Michigan. It has been in the news a little bit over the past year. Or not year, but the past 5 years because of the Flint water crisis in 2014. And then just the exposure to it was on the news too recently, because of the police's response to protests for Black Lives Matter in June. But Flint has been very much affected by poverty and anti-Blackness, and there is no yoga studio in Flint. So I wanted to be the one to open one there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like such a huge thing. So for your yoga studio, just like, we can talk about that for a little bit. It like more inclusive? Like you're wanting it to be like inclusive for everybody. So like all races, all sizes, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So our yoga studio, that's one of the main tenets of our mission, is that we offer accessible and authentic yoga for anyone who comes through our doors, regardless of fitness level, race, or size,
mm-hmm.
Or any other difference. And the other, like one of the other big tenets of our yoga studio is that 5% of our profits go towards a scholarship fund for yoga teacher training for BIPOC mm-hmm. people in the Flint communities. So it's really important to me. I'm a white woman. So
mm-hmm.
Flint is a majority Black community. And I didn't feel comfortable coming in there saying like, okay, Flint, here I am, white woman about to save. I didn't want to do any kind of like a white savior thing.
Sure.
So it was really important to me to find people who are already ingratiated in the community. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Who are already ingratiated in the community to properly represent yoga and get yoga's message out there. I think be a better ambassador for yoga than I could possibly be.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So let's start from the beginning. Like where did you grow up? You said you grew up in Michigan or?
No, I'm a Michigan transplant. Okay. I am from Milwaukee, Wisconsin originally.
Okay.
I'm 30 years old. I lived in Wisconsin until I was 19 and then I moved to Michigan. So I grew up the daughter of two teachers who had we'll start here. My life has been defined by like three huge events that like has significantly shaped, I think, who I am. And the first one being when I was a small child. So when I was 4, I started being molested by my father.
Oh.
Looking back on it now, I think that my dad struggled significantly with mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't excuse him for what he did. And at this point, we don't have a relationship anymore. But mm-hmm. I think that I have compassion for him because of that. But mm-hmm. despite that, because he has never really pursued any kind of interest in making amends or interest in change,
mm-hmm.
I can't continue to have him in my life.
Wow.
So I ride that line of like between compassion for the fact that he struggled he had it pretty rough too, so I have compassion for that, but the cycle of healing and the place that I'm trying to make or the life that I'm trying to make for my husband and that our future children is just doesn't include that kind of influence. So that significantly affected me. And I think when I was a child, I felt really alienated from other people. And that was really painful for mm-hmm. me because this was a secret that I didn't even know was that bad.
Mm.
But I couldn't share it with other people.
Yeah.
And that pressure of holding that kind of trauma mm-hmm. really, I think, affects your body. The second significant thing that happened in my life was that when I was 15, my mom was diagnosed with brain cancer.
Oh my gosh.
And she did end up surviving, but that is, for anybody who is really familiar with brain cancer or brain trauma. That is a significant injury. She had a tumor the size of a small lemon in her
frontal cortex.
And that significantly affected her after that. I also don't have a relationship with my mother now, too. Again, I have compassion for her, but she did not. Her family as well had significant mental health issues, too. And I think that that affected her ability to be a really good supportive parent. But that significantly affected me in my just my ability to learn how to take care of myself, because I didn't have my mother. And I think when you're 15, there's a significant portion of you that is learning to be a woman and without a significant female influence. I think I floundered quite a bit through my later teen years and started gaining way more. Started really the point in my life where I can remember just feeling this overwhelming urge to just destroy my body. And just because I had so much anger, so much rage, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I didn't know how else to get attention from other people. I didn't know how else to care for myself except like acting out sexually, acting out by taking lots of drugs and alcohol. And just like this overwhelming urge just to destroy myself. By the time I graduated college, I was already a size 18. By the time I graduated high school, I was already a size 18. So I've been plus size the majority of my life. And then fast forward to this year, actually. Well, the last couple years, my husband and I have struggled with infertility. We have had 3 miscarriages over the last 5 years.
Oh my gosh.
But in the last year, I've really come to myself realizing that my body is something to take, that's meant to be taken care of, that the relationship with your body is something that you need to nurture in order to not destroy it. I think that that's, I think body destruction is something that affects a lot of people. And I mean body destruction, not necessarily in a self-harming way, but in a way that like admitting to yourself that you have a body and it's worthy of love and protection.
Right. Yeah. Well, I just, I was like so engrossed in your story, but I just want to take a moment and just like, thank you for sharing all those things, because those are very deep personal things. And I know that people who will listen to this can totally relate. If you listen to my episode at the very beginning, I also shared that I had the same type of trauma, a childhood trauma with family members molesting me as well. So this is a trigger kind of warning thing. Even for me now, I struggle with even watching movies of like rape or anything like that. I'm like, well, gotta go. Like, it still, you know, brings up stuff for me. So I feel you on all that.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think about that. I'm so
no,
sorry.
No, that's
if that
totally
was too much information.
No,
but
I appreciate you like saying that, and I'll just like put it in there, because that is, I know for me, that's the reason why I did gain weight, because I was trying to protect myself. You know what I mean? And that's something that you do. You don't know how else to deal with anything except for to eat. And as a child, you can't say it. You can't, you know, it's a secret, like you said. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're gaining weight and you don't know why, and you're just kind of destroying yourself. And I, as you were telling your story, there were so many similarities in mine, because yeah, like I definitely acted out sexually in that way as well. I just was kind of like not even thinking about, you know, what, who the person was or anything. It just was to just be with somebody. And then also the fact that, like, you know, you started gaining weight, and then I didn't dabble into like any type of substances as much, but I started smoking, which was in my mind, like, what the heck was I thinking? I was such like an anti-smoker. So, and I did that for 2 years, and I don't know why, but I did, you know, I could. So
So I might as well destroy myself in some way, you know? And you don't really make that connection at the time. You're just like, I'm doing this because I can. But it was like the only way that you can, like, I don't know, gain control in a way, you know?
Oh, yeah. The idea of, like, so for me, it's always been, like, eating. And this is something, too, that I'm still struggling with and trying to reframe my relationship to. But eating and substances and sex, it's just a way for you to be able to tell yourself, like, I get to do this because I've experienced some stuff. Yeah. And because I've experienced some stuff, like, my edge is sharper, and I want to demonstrate that, like, maybe I don't have it all together, but I've experienced things and I get to do this.
Yeah. Now.
And the only person that you're really destroying, I mean, like your friends and your family care for about sure. you. And they don't want you to do those things, but the person that you're really destroying is yourself. And I don't mean that to say like don't have chocolate cake.
For sure.
Like, I'm literally going to have a piece of chocolate cake tonight to celebrate being on this podcast. But I mean, just in terms of, I think our relationship to food, and mindfulness is so healthy. I'm so happy to be living in a time now where, like, mindfulness mm-hmm. is a thing that we actually, like, talk about.
Yeah.
As like, intuitive eating is a thing that we're talking mm-hmm. about again. Though, I mean, the co-opting of that is frustrating. But that's a whole other topic, I think. But yeah, I mean, those are like the significant events then of my life. And if I look back, I can definitely tell where my weight started to, like, where I started to gain weight. And I can think of, like, my father was just a very complicated person. And he told me when I was 13. So he sexually, I should probably back up. Sorry. He sexually abused me from 5 to about 8.
And wow, that's a long time.
Where I was 13, and my father told me that if I didn't agree to lose weight, then I was going to have to leave the house. He ended up changing his mind about that. But I remember,
oh my gosh,
I remember that experience. And I remember thinking, like, that was one of the first times where I was like, I can't, like, I'm never going to be able to be in this body. And I actually ended up marrying he's great. I, like, the best decision I ever made. But when I was 16, I met my now husband. And I remember being in the kitchen eating, like, a grilled cheese sandwich, and my dad telling me that, like, I was too fat for anyone to love me. And I remember being told that and just how painful that was. I feel for anybody who's heard something like that in their lives. I mean, how are you ever supposed to accept that you have a body that's worthy of love and care if that's what you're being told by people who you love and trust? And that is not that uncommon of an experience.
It's extremely common. And as I do, like, more of these episodes, even if these things are said out of a joke or whatever, they are still said to people, and specifically by, like, people that you trust, or for your parents, you might not trust them, but, like, the whole point is these are people in your inner circle that are telling you this, and that, what else are you supposed to believe,
right?
You know, especially as somebody, you're not completely mature enough to, like, live on your own, and yet the people who you're with are telling you, like, you don't deserve to be loved. Do they even love me? You know what I mean? And it's like all that deeper stuff comes up, and it comes up for almost every single person who I've interviewed who's been fat. So yes, super common.
Yes, absolutely. And I guess I just want to throw my hat in the ring there just to say I totally get that. I absolutely get that experience. For people who because like I think when you're that young too, and for a lot of people who find who identify as fat, I mean, I think that mm-hmm. they would find that relationship to their body ends up changing when they're small, and you start getting into the questions of why would the people that love me say things that hurt me? Is this what love is?
Totally.
And that's just, yeah, I mean, that's exceptionally painful. And I feel for everyone who's ever experienced that.
Yes. How about getting a little bit older here? You were saying you went to college or?
Yeah. So I ended up going to college. I got my degree in mechanical and biomechanical engineering. I've been, so I did that for a long time. I've always been somebody who compensates by getting really good grades and just like working myself to the bone. So I knew when I graduated high school, so I graduated high school in 08, I needed a job directly after that. So I decided that engineering was going to give me the kind of security that I felt like I needed. So I got my engineering degree, even though I entered college as an art history major. And I worked in one of the big three. I've worked for one of the big three automotive companies for the last 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. But this year, which has been great. I mean, for the most part, being a woman in engineering is challenging, and I would not. I would recommend it to anyone if they're interested in a career in STEM, but it is challenging. The culture has not changed enough, I think, to totally catch up to where we're trying to push so many women into STEM. But after being in that job for so long, it just started to get kind of stressful dealing with infertility, dealing with coming to terms with my relationship to my parents and my body. Dealing with infertility was really, really challenging. I think that that was a point in time too, where it's like, okay, I felt kind of betrayed. Like my mm-hmm. body has, like my body has been through enough, and now it can't make a baby, and I can't understand why we've been trying for 5 years and I still can't get pregnant by the person that I love more than anything else. And I think that that was, again, came into a part of my life where I really distrusted my body. I felt this overwhelming urge to destroy it and destroy myself. And I eventually quit. I quit this year to pursue yoga full time, because I found that what healed me was yoga. Finding my own body, finding body awareness, discovering what these feelings feel like in my body was the most healing thing I've ever done. And I was able to come back to myself in a way.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing. So like, do you feel comfortable talking about, you said you don't know why you're having these miscarriages. Do you feel comfortable talking more about that?
Oh, or? For sure. I feel pretty comfortable talking about that.
Okay.
Yeah. So my husband and I went to, we tried for 5 years. On the fourth, we've been married for 6 years, and we started trying right after we got married. We got married at 24. So like, looking back, I'm kind of happy we couldn't have a baby at 24, because we've learned mm-hmm. so much about ourselves in between that time. But as the time went on and we started being more serious about like, okay, now it's weird that we haven't gotten pregnant yet. And we started timing things out. That was when I did successfully get pregnant, but lose the baby under 8 weeks. So three different times.
Oh my gosh.
And after a year, we went to a doctor to go get fertility treatment done. And the doctor gave us a whole bunch of tests, but refused to do any other treatments until I would lose weight. So which was really frustrating. So I went in and I was like, okay, I want a family more than I want this body. I was like, I will beat the living crap out of it until it loses weight. And just in doing that, I think that screwed me up even more. But like I pursued CrossFit for a while. I did yoga, but like more fitness-based yoga where you're not really listening to your body or paying attention to any kind of body awareness. I threw everything I could to try and understand this body that like just didn't make sense to me. And the fertility treatments, one of the things that was most frustrating from the fertility treatments is that after all this testing and all this money that we spent, we're both diagnosed with unexplained fertility. Or infertility.
Oh my gosh.
So there is nothing physically wrong with either of us. I think that the trauma from the sexual abuse has created some kind of a blockage in me that just like prevents my body from getting pregnant. That is what I think. I don't know if you've read The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk.
Have not, but tell me about it.
So that is a book that talks about how we keep the trauma from the things that we've experienced in our bodies. So one of the main examples that book uses is that if you watch an animal in the wild, like something like an antelope or a gazelle, if it's getting chased by a hyena, it will play dead until the hyena believes that it's dead and it's no longer interested in that. But when you watch the gazelle, it'll get up and it'll shake that experience off. It goes through a violent shaking experience.
Mm.
And after that, it doesn't seem like the gazelle is affected at all by that experience of being chased. But if you interrupt that process, the gazelle will never be the same again.
Wow.
Humans don't have a process like that. We don't have like a shaking process like that. But the process of yoga, the process of paying attention and feeling what our feelings feel like in our body, that might be some of the closest we've come to trying to resolve that trauma and that we all experience, I mean, in different ways.
Sure. Yes.
So that's my theory. But that's kind of where we are. Our story kind of has a happy ending. We decided that my relationship to my doctor, I just couldn't pursue weight loss for infertility treatments anymore and like continue to be a healthy person. So we decided to pursue adoption. So we are waiting adoptive parents right now and hopeful that somebody will choose us. So we are on the list and hopeful, definitely hopeful, but our fate is in the hands of somebody that isn't us right now. So
oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. You've been through the ringer and you're still like positive about it. I love this so much in so many ways. So like, I'm just sending you all the amazing vibes.
Oh, thank you.
So hopefully that, and then whoever's listening, if you could just take a moment and just like send her some amazing vibes, because yeah, like you totally deserve it. I'm sure you're going to be an amazing mother.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, I would say that I think that so many of my decisions have come down to what does the bravest version of myself do? What does the bravest version of myself as a mother do? And that's guided a lot of our choices. And I hope that dream ends up coming true, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see for sure. Yeah.
So where are you at right now with your body? Like, how you said that you're letting go of like that doctor and everything. So how do you feel about your body right now?
I feel really good about my body. My body has been through, can I swear on this podcast?
Sure.
My body has been through some shit. yeah. But I'm so proud of it. I have beaten it up. I have not loved it. I have let others do things to it that aren't kind. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But my body, like, it's a safe place for me to come home to every day. And yoga helps me with that. I like, that's what yoga is to me. It's like coming home to my body.
Yeah.
And
I love like, that.
Yeah. And that's a question that I get from my friends, like, all the time is, where do you get your confidence from? Because I'm the girl who's like, crop tops all the time, bikinis forever. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And I'm a size, like, anywhere between a size 18 to a size 22. I'm 275 pounds. And I'm 5'2". So I am not what society says that I should be wearing, but, like, I wear bra tops to yoga, like, no matter what, because it's cool out and I like to have my belly existing in the world. I feel pretty happy when I look at myself in the mirror right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's where I'm kind of at with my body.
So what's your advice for somebody who might be struggling with this mindset? Like, how did you get from hating yourself, like tearing yourself down, going through all these fertility things, and then coming out on the other side and being accepting of yourself? Like, advice and then the journey of it.
Be gentle to yourself every day, as gentle as you are able to be, understanding that you're doing, I think one of the things that people get so frustrated about is that their coping mechanisms, like, one of my coping mechanisms is to eat. That is 100% true. I do that when I'm feeling frustrated. I do that when I'm feeling happy. I just eat. That's an emotional response for me. I understand that that's not the most healthy emotional response, but I have respect for the fact that that coping mechanism has gotten me through some shit. And someday, I think that I'll reach a place in my body and my relationship to myself where I maybe won't need to do that so much anymore. But in the meantime, I think showing myself gentleness and compassion, finding one thing that my body has done every day that I find incredible, I think that that has been so helpful. Just this overwhelming, like, because as I said, going through infertility, going through sexual abuse, going through all the therapy to deal with all of those things, the thing that I struggled the most with is just, like, I am here. My body is still non-compliant. It's still not doing the thing that I want it to do. And no matter what, it has not done those things. I have dieted. I did CrossFit. I did so much stuff to try and lose weight and try and beat my body into submission. But coming back home to this place where, wow, my body, like, held me together while I was crying on the floor today, or my body is able to feel hugs for my husband when he comes home from work. Yeah. Like, my body can do really incredible things. Or in yoga, like, I've been working really hard on bow pose. I have not gotten there yet, but the fact that, like, my body can do it and it's curious about that movement, that's an incredible thing that my body is doing. And I love that. I hope that people who are listening take that advice moving forward, is just finding one thing that your body has done that is incredible. Our bodies are incredible. Getting a degree in biomechanics helped me see that too. Our bodies do such cool shit, like, all the time. And I love that.
I love that too. I love how you said that as well. Like, our bodies do such cool shit all the time. I completely agree. So your yoga story, like, when did you start practicing yoga? Like, how did you practice? Why?
So I started practicing in college in Flint. And again, there were no yoga studios, so I would go to ones that were in, like, the white suburbs of Flint. And I was by far, because again, I've been a size 18, like, through college. I've been a size 18 since I graduated high school. So I've been about this size for, like, a very long, like, 10, 12 years. So I would go, I would go to yoga, and I would feel so uncomfortable because I couldn't do downward dog. I couldn't do hero pose. Like, my knees just, like, could not handle the pressure of being there. And I didn't know what else to do besides, like, taking my own modifications, because it was either doing that or, like, I don't know, like, leaving the class, because there were nothing else. There was nothing else to be done. So I started doing that in college. And since then, I took kind of like an on and off relationship with yoga until I started going through infertility. About 5 years ago, infertility kind of threw me for a loop, because I didn't understand why all of my friends seemed to be able to, like, sneeze and get pregnant. And it was such a challenge for me. So I would come to my mat just to explore my body, explore joyful movement, though I didn't really know it at the time. So within the last 5 years, I've developed my own self-practice at home, and then, like, on occasion going into some classes just to get further inspiration. And then this year, with deciding to quit my job, I finally decided to go get yoga teacher trained and open my own studio. So that's kind of where we're at now.
Wow.
Is that, yeah.
Like, you did all of this in a year. So where did you train? Like, where did you get your teacher training? Was it online?
Yeah, like, I did it on
through the pandemic.
Yeah, I did it online. Actually, I went on disability at the beginning of the year before I decided to formally quit my job, because I, like, the stress of dealing with, I went on disability for, like, a month, but the stress of dealing with infertility, dealing with sexual abuse, just got to be, like, way too much for me. And I had, it's not actually called this, but, like, it is what is essentially, like, a nervous breakdown. They are called other things now, but where, like, I just couldn't function anymore. And I decided I couldn't do engineering. I couldn't handle the stress of working a job where I'm denigrated and, like, distrusted. I couldn't handle the stress of, like, not fully trusting my body. And once I got a chance to come back from that, like, with the use of medication and a proper diagnosis,
yeah,
and psychiatric help, once I got the chance to come back from that and get right back on a path, I realized that that wasn't the path that I wanted my life to go down. And I wanted a chance to do something different to help other people that had been through some shit.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping to do now. We have found a candidate, BIPOC in Flint. I've paid for her yoga teacher training too. I think she's going to be an awesome teacher.
Wow.
I get messages a lot from people who say that my story is really helpful for them as they move through their own journey with their body.
Yeah.
So even if this doesn't work out, which, again, I started a business in Flint in the middle of a pandemic. But I feel great about what we've accomplished so far.
Wow. So tell me more about, like, how you came to, like, have the studio. Did you have, like, the idea of
opening the studio before you even got your teacher training? Like, was that like the big end goal, or was it just kind of evolving into that?
No, that was kind of the big end goal. So okay. I knew that yoga could be really, really healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had used it to heal myself. It, like, I had used it to heal myself, again, in accordance with medication and the proper diagnosis and psychiatric help and looking for ways to support myself. But yoga was a big part of that. I mean, discovering that my body was worthy and the only one that I'm going to have. So yeah. I have to learn to love it because this is the only one I've got. Yes. I kind of got to this point where I was like, I want to learn how to teach other people to do this. I've had to learn how to figure out how to do it in my own body.
Right.
I would like to teach other people to do the same thing. So I had been practicing yoga for a long time, but I didn't know if I knew enough to like teach other people to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I did yoga teacher training as well. Plus I wanted the chance to get the certification. And then since then I've done prenatal. I'm working on my prenatal cert right now too, because I'm really interested in yoga to heal women, for like women's health issues and to heal women's bodies. I loved my prenatal cert training, but so I'm working on that right now.
That's awesome. So how do you like being a yoga teacher?
I love it. Oh my God. I love being a yoga teacher. It's so much fun. I get like my job every day is to essentially, so restorative and slow flow is like my jam.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. So I love being able to essentially get up in front of class and like read my journal basically and talk about feelings. And it feels great. Like it just feels really good when you can tell that when you cue somebody to bring awareness to a part of their body and you can tell just the subtle movement, like that they actually did it and they knew what that meant. Oh my God. That's like magical. It's a magical feeling. Again, a lot of my practices are really slow, so I can, so I can see that happening and it's so motivational and I love it. I teach now 4 days a week and I have two other teachers that work underneath me that teach two other days. So, we're really fortunate and lucky. A lot of the clients that have sought me out and choose to work with me are other women who are fat, or identify as plus size, who have always wanted to try yoga, but have never really felt comfortable being in a studio. And then they see me and they're like, oh, I think I could do this. I could probably give it a shot. And it feels so important to me that people look at my body and they're like, oh yeah, okay. Yoga, the importance. I can see myself represented here. So I can totally do this.
I love it so much. Oh, you're an inspiration. I love this.
Oh, thank you so much.
What do you want people to know about you as a fat yoga instructor?
I think I just want people to know that I have compassion for you in wherever stage you are at. I think that a lot of people come to yoga and they're still seeing it as like just a strictly fitness pursuit. And if you're still there, I still have compassion for you there. I will meet you there as well. But if you're looking for something deeper, I will definitely meet you there. You are speaking my mother tongue there, friend. And I will meet you wherever you're at.
Awesome. Very good.
Yeah.
So feelings around being like a fat yogi, like can you say that you are a fat yogi? Do you even say those words?
No, I say I'm a fat yogi.
Okay.
I love being able to say that I'm a fat yogi. Honestly, I like, especially right now there's, and I think too, coming, I'm a millennial. So like coming up in the age of the internet,
Yeah.
Obviously, there is a lot more representation on the internet for people who are fat. Positive representation, right. I should say.
Yes.
So being able to say that I'm a fat yogi, there are people out there that have been looking for this for their entire life. I guess I can't imagine being somebody who's like my mother-in-law's age, who so clearly struggles with her body image. And I can't, like, sometimes that's frustrating for me, but then I remember, like, oh my gosh, she's lived her entire life being told that fat is ugly and and non-compliant and lazy and unworthy. I feel so lucky right now to be living in a time where my fatness, there's proof out there that exists that, like, oh, I can do things. I am limber. I can do things with my body that I am just learning how to do. Like, I can figure new things out. And I feel so fortunate to be in this place and in this time, especially.
So, yes, I'm just loving all of this, because yes, because like for a long time, I feel like, you know, the fat yoga community just didn't exist, or it was like this underground thing. And then, you know, Jessamyn Stanley, she's like this beautiful yogi who just kind of rose to the top.
Yeah, I definitely know her.
And then Amber Carnes and a lot of the other really larger accounts that are out there that are really like paving the way. And now, you know, smaller accounts like yours and mine are now able to kind of be accepted even by our own community, because like,
it
wasn't even like accepted, you know what I mean? Even by our own. It's taken a lot of a mind shift. So I just think that's amazing.
Well, go ahead. And what's really interesting about it too is, like I was saying, there are so many people that like still approach yoga as just like a strictly fitness pursuit.
Right.
And I think that is something that we get even like even more so among just this overwhelming urge to be like the good fatty narrative. Where like, I'm fat, but I still work out, so it's okay. Leave me alone. Please don't talk to me about my fatness. And I think like there, even more so there, there's like this idea that yoga has to be super fitness based, or yoga has to be a form of exercise. And it's not always for me. I know for a lot of people, they're still going through that journey to figure what yoga means to them. But I totally get what you're saying about like acceptance by people who would probably be in our community or identify with us and just maybe aren't there
yet. I still
get
questions. People say like, oh, I want to work with you one-on-one. And I have this, you know, intake form, and I ask them like, what are your goals? And if weight loss or anything like that comes up, then it's like, I'm not the right fit for you. You know, my goal for you is for you to feel good in your body, and weight loss might be where you're going. And that's great. But like, I'm not going to be the one that provides your weight loss. Like, that's going to be on a different page. Like, I'm here for like support and guidance and like love, self-love, and feeling into your body for sure. So I completely understand what you're saying about all that. And here's the thing, like, you as a fat person still probably come across pictures and then you might like think of yourself in a negative way, like, oh, I need to lose weight. And it's just so crazy how 100%. those immediate thoughts come right back up to the surface, and then you have to go, okay, I recognize that I'm thinking that way. Let me just take a step back and understand, like, well, in that picture, I'm happy. Let's focus on that instead, you know? And it does take that extra step to not be completely like obsessed with how you look, but be obsessed with like how you feel, even when it's just a picture, you know?
Right. Oh yeah.
So absolutely. What do you want people to know about you as a fat yoga instructor?
want people to know that I think when you're in a fat body and trying to figure yoga out, and one of the things that I love most about being an instructor is that all these poses, I am not naturally flexible. I will start with that. I am not naturally flexible. So all the poses that I am able to do, I've had to figure out how to do in my own body. So I don't have the luxury of just being able to say like, well, I just woke up one day and I was able to do camel pose or something like that. Like I had to figure that out, how to do that in my body. I had to take different modifications for a long time, and now I can do that. And I think that one thing that is kind of confusing to somebody who comes to one of my classes is that there are some poses that I am able to demonstrate as a fat yoga instructor. And people feel surprised. It's almost like, well, if she can do it, right, I should definitely be able to do that. And I don't think that that's necessarily true. I mean, I do like 2 hours of yoga a day. I mean, depending upon, like, it's not all like vinyasa, but I do like, I do a lot of restorative. I do a lot of slow flow. Like I do a lot of exploring my body. And so I am like more than willing to help you navigate through that pose, but you might not be able to do it the first time you try it just because you can see that I can do it. Like just because I'm fat doesn't mean that I haven't had to like work at these poses. A lot of them, even if they're like more beginner poses, like I've had to figure out how to do that. And I've been doing yoga for a lot longer than a lot of the people that I teach. So it kind of makes sense that I would, my body's already figured that out. So that would be something that I would want to, that I'd like to gently.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, isn't that funny how like people think, well, if you're fat, then you're not able. And if you are able, then I should be able, you know?
Right.
It's like, no. Like I worked really hard to get to where I'm at. Like, even though I'm still fat, I can still do this.
And I think that the thing that frustrates me even more than that is the fact that I can see them getting frustrated with themselves. And it's like, this is counterproductive to what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to teach you to to love and appreciate your body. And if you're getting frustrated because you can see me doing something that you feel like you should be able to do, then you're not loving, like you're not focusing on loving what it is your body can do now.
It's crazy because like, yes, you offer these progressions, right? You're like, this is where we start and this is where you move through. And then as you move through the progressions, you can teach it because you've mastered the pose, so to speak. And they haven't.
Right.
And yet they get frustrated. So then you remind them like, start here, like don't move, like this is okay for you to be at. And it's almost like sometimes I'm afraid to teach them because you get these students in your class where their mind is just like, I need to be the best, I need to be at that top level no matter what, even if this is my third class. And you're like, okay, well calm down. Like,
well, that, or they're doing yoga like once a week, and that's cool. Totally. Like, you can do yoga once a week. That's totally fine. But, like, you're not going to be able to do lizard pose and perfect, like, perfectly. You're just not. Your knee is going to bend out a certain way. So maybe back up. Maybe back out of that pose a little bit. Like, you don't need, you don't need to hurt yourself. It's not, like, this is not showing love to your body. If you're here with that intention, and that's one thing too that I would want people to know is just that, like, I do a lot of yoga. That's why I'm okay at yoga, is because like, so when I take these cool pictures and put them online, you don't see that like my body is shaking, or you don't see that like my, like when I'm breathing, like my body is going up and down, like. Yeah, they're cool pictures for sure, 100%. But like, you don't see that. Like, they're also dynamic. That like, I'm moving in this pose. So that's why I try to somewhat stay away from posing, like posting just like a picture of me doing a pose. I prefer to do a video just because I feel like you can see more of the motion then, and it's more real. It feels more like this is actually how long I'm holding this pose, or this is actually like how my breath moves. Like, I'm not actually balancing in this pose for that long because like tree pose I can barely do. Some days I can, some days I can't, but I like, but I think it's important for people to see like, yeah, I fall right the hell out of tree pose like when I'm doing it, just be, and that's fine. My body's discovering it
and you're practicing, like, learning it. You're like, practicing just like your... That's what I always am reminding everybody, like, this is, yoga is a practice. There's no graceful moment here. Like, when you come out of pigeon, you're gonna be flopping, okay? Like,
as well you should be. I mean, or I get people who like, I've had people who have cried in pigeon pose and they're like, is that normal?
Yes.
I'm like, fuck yeah, it's, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's normal. Like, I've cried in pigeon pose before. Like, your body, that's the biggest joint in your body. You're gonna hold a lot of trauma there. Especially in an area of our body like where our sexual organs are, because as women, we don't get taught as nearly as much information about how our sexual organs work. Our relationship to it is something like where we have to visit maybe once a month and we don't ever get to talk about with anybody, or we never really get to like be proud of that relationship. Like, men are very, very proud of their sexual organs, I think we can say. You don't ever hear about anybody talking like big uterus energy. That's not a thing. But I would like to make it a thing officially. Like, let's make big uterus energy.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much.
yes. But, and I like, so yes, coming back to pigeon pose, yes, of course you're going to feel some trauma there. That's a part of your body that you probably don't ever connect with.
Totally.
Like, just a region of it. So there's probably something there that you don't know.
So about. Just kind of speaking about poses and everything, is there any poses that you're working on right now?
I am working on my bow pose. I was working on bow pose. I've never been able to pick my feet up during crow. So someday I would like to learn to do that. It's something that I practice every so often, but I am guilty, just like everybody else, of practicing the poses that I like that make me that make me feel really good, and neglecting the ones that I probably should practice more. Yeah. And crow is one of them.
Yeah, I know. I've been like, you know, working forearm stand forever, and it's, you know, I just add it to the end of my posture, my session or whatever. But like, yeah, crow is one that I hate. I feel uncomfortable in. And yeah, it is one that I should be practicing more. And I know the tricks to do it, and I just don't like it. I don't like how I feel in it. And yeah.
I don't like it either. It's something about like reaching forward. That position of reaching forward where like I'm just like, I cannot do that. It just makes my body feel uncomfortable, and I like, and like just like kind of gross. I just like, there's something about that makes me feel gross, and I'm just like, I'll practice it sometimes, but I have to be like, it has to be after like a really good confidence boosting session where like I'm feeling myself.
I'm there. What are your words of advice for anybody who's starting a yoga journey?
Anyone who's starting a yoga journey, make sure that you are taking as much self-confidence as you can. Like, I would totally look at myself. Like, one of the things that I tell my mentee as she's moving through her yoga journey is, like, look in the mirror every day and tell yourself what the bravest version of yourself would do. If you're feeling nervous or you're feeling afraid or you're feeling unsure about sharing your journey with other people, the bravest version of yourself goes for it and is willing to ask other people for help, is willing to attend classes, is willing to go forth into the world and proclaim themselves as a person who's got a good relationship with their bodies.
Yeah.
It's okay if you're not there yet, but that is something that I would totally, like, if one day you're doing a post and you feel just, like, amazing because you were able to do that, post that selfie, friend, and, like,
yeah,
tell other people that you did that. You can be proud of what you've done. People are mean, totally. But, like, they're not that mean. Not right now. And if Lock they are, then, like, throw them in the trash, that person. Yes. The whole person. Throw them in the trash. And move forward with your life. But wherever you get your self-confidence from, double it. Be gentle with yourself. Get more of that self-confidence from that place. And yeah, if you like rock a pose one day that you've been working on,
totally
post that selfie and tell other people about it. I can guarantee that more people are willing to support you than you probably realize.
I love that. I love all of this advice. This makes me feel really good.
Yay!
This has been so fun.
I love it too.
We should try it again. This
what are
great.
Your last words on the topic of being fat? Like, what do you want people to know? Anything that we missed that we didn't go over?
Yes, I did. Yes. I do want to talk about one thing. Being fat in the medical community. Don't the next time that you go to a doctor and your doctor says this thing is happening to you because you are fat, I would challenge you to say, okay, thank you, doctor. What would you have told somebody who's experiencing this issue who is not fat? That is a thing, that is a way to advocate for yourself that I wish I would have figured out sooner. Because it is so often that doctors will jump to being overweight as a solution for everything. And that's not fair. That's not fair to your body. That disrespects you and the person that you are. And if you can advocate for yourself in a way to get yourself better medical treatment, I totally recommend that you do
that. I love this because this is just one of the many, many ways that as fat people, we are oppressed and like we are treated differently. And yes, we are judged based off of our weight for issues that aren't even concerning the weight. So yeah, I love this.
Right. And I have heard too, for people who are like talking to their doctor before they want to start a yoga practice, if your doctor tells you to lose 10 pounds first, I am not a doctor, so there's that. But I would maybe press on that a little bit just to find out some more information about where that comes from. Like, is there a specific kind of yoga that they see that you're doing where they don't foresee your bones being able to handle it? Like, that would be something, your bones or your heart or whatever, not able to handle that, because yoga can be modified for everybody. So totally. That is the thing that I have heard. But in general, advocate for yourself in the medical community. Don't, with compassion and with heart, but don't let the medical community put you in a place where you feel trapped.
Such good advice. I love this. Okay, so end of the show, five favorites. So here's the first question. What is your favorite meal?
Oh my gosh, if I could drink Merlot and eat chocolate croissant all day, I would.
Okay. Hey, that sounds really good. What is your favorite TV show?
Probably It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh my God, I love that show too.
I love that show. The one
where they
people.
Get addicted to crack.
Oh. I love that show. I just rewatched that episode recently. That is the show that I have on all the time just because I love having it in the background just to say,
yes.
Love watching terrible people do terrible things to each other.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Totally. what is your favorite book?
Ooh, my favorite book. Probably, I would say, can I change the question a little bit? Can I say two sure. books that I would totally recommend people read?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Two books that I would recommend that people read are Tiny Beautiful Things by Cheryl Strayed. That is her collection of Dear Sugar letters. And if you've never read them, like if you are like me and addicted to advice columnists, you'll love them. Like they're beautiful and poetry in words. Oh my gosh, Cheryl Strayed. I love her.
Nice.
And then I would also recommend reading The Gift of Fear. I can't remember who wrote it, but if you just look up The Gift of Fear, it's about using our own intuition to trust the fact that some things can hurt you. And sometimes it's better to listen to our own bodies than other people saying, like, that thing will never come to pass. It's important to listen to our intuition. So,
awesome.
Two books I think you should read.
Yeah, I'm writing this down. I love it. What is your favorite Instagram account to follow?
Ooh. Okay. Right now, I have to say my favorite Instagram account to follow is... I've been getting into, really into crystals lately. There is a local crystal seller to me in Michigan. It's 12th House Healing. And the owner, or one of the owners, is also a plus-size yogi. And her co-owner is amazing, too. But I love them. They do crystal lives all the time, and they are so fun. And I just, like there's like a whole world of crystals out there that is a great time. So I love following their account.
Okay. I am going to check them out because I love crystals too.
Sweet. they're probably going to, they're my pals too. They're going to love that. I gave them a shout out.
Oh, I love it. I love them. Very cool. Yeah. When you send me your bio, make sure you like give me all of the way that they spell it and all that. So I make sure I tag them and everything.
Will do.
And then what's your favorite way to spend a day off?
Probably my favorite way to spend a day off is hiking with my dogs in the morning, a cheeseburger for lunch, and an afternoon on a pontoon boat, complete with swimming in a bikini, and a concert on the beach at night, I think would be the perfect day.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like the biggest fun-filled day ever.
I'm just thinking, like, this sounds great. I'm like, what do I want? Yes, that is exactly what I want.
Yeah. Speaking of concerts, I'm going to go see Metallica tomorrow at a drive-in.
No. Yeah, I'm so jealous. See, car, like, we don't get to do cool shit like that in Michigan. That sounds amazing.
So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to be posting all that to my Instagram stories and everything. God. But I'm like, how is this concert going to go in a car? Like, now that it's like, you know, pandemic wise, like, how are we going to handle those types of things? You know?
Oh, my God. You're going to get your face rocked off, but then you'll get to be able to like check it in the mirror. And I'm so jealous. like check out the sweaty concertness on your face as it's happening. And that is a dream come true for me. Cause I'm vain and I like to make sure that my lipstick doesn't get smeared. It's a pet peeve of mine, but yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, we're excited. Definitely. It's my husband's birthday this weekend. So we get to like go and have a little bit of grown up fun, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, my husband and I we like to think of ourselves as to be parents. We just don't know. Our baby has a birthday. We just don't know when our baby's birthday is. So
yeah,
we like to do stuff like that too. I mean, we don't have Metallica drive-in concerts in here in Michigan, but we do like to do fun stuff like that. Just because eventually we're not going to be able to, and we're going to get to argue over who washed the soccer jerseys the night before, and we can't wait.
I love all the things you're saying. This is I'm so excited for you already.
Oh man. Yeah,
what are your last words you'd like to share with everybody?
My last words. Probably that an ounce of gentleness goes further than any other. Like, you can't beat yourself into submission, I think, is really, like, yeah. If you're in your relationship with your body, mm-hmm. like, you can only hate yourself so much before it just becomes way too harmful. And I know a lot of people don't think that they hate themselves, but if your body never, ever, ever changed again, or you couldn't control the way that your body changed, would you still love it? And I think a lot of us would say no. And that's okay, but it might be worth examining that.
I love that. That's such good advice. Thank you so much.
Yes, this was so much fun.
This was such a great time. I cannot wait for this episode to come out. It will probably come out very soon.
Okay, great.
So maybe even like in the next week or so. I just need to edit it. Awesome. But thank you so much for coming on to the show. I appreciate your time so much. And we'll be in touch. Thank you. Bye. And thank you so much for listening to the show today, friends. Be sure to check our guest out. They were awesome, and we just want to send so much support their way. So check the show notes for any of the details that you missed. And also be sure to check out my yoga schedule, fatyogicrew.as.me. I would love to have you a part of the crew and be joining in some yoga sessions with me. I love that I've created a community of people online where we can all come together and just love our bodies through yoga. Thanks so much and have a wonderful day. Bye!